Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:26 British Summer Time. Today is September 1st. This was a relatively mixed day on stock markets. In Asia, the Nikkei was stronger by 1.18%. Both the Hang Seng and the ASX were stronger by 0.25%, as Singapore and Taiwan were both in negative territory. In Europe, it was a reasonably similar story. The majority of indices were in the positive column, most of them by less than half of 1%. The DAX was a bit of a standout. It was weaker by almost 1%. In the Americas, the Dow Jones and S&P both closed out the day lower by over 1%. In Brazil, the market was stronger by almost 3% on the back of a surprise interest rate cut. In the commodity sector, it was a reasonably quiet day with the precious metals almost all closing relatively unchanged. Silver was weaker by 14 cents. In the grain and bean complex, the corn market and the soybean markets were both down in here today. Corn by almost limit down, encountering resistance in the region of the previous high and from a short-term overbought condition. At present, this doesn't look like anything other than an unwinding of the short-term overbought condition in the area of a previous peak. Additional and significant technical deterioration would be required to really question medium-term upside potential here. The oil market was relatively unchanged on West Texas Intermediate. Brent crude was down a bit today. It was up to $115 earlier today and closed out the day closer to $114. The US dollar was stronger in here today. It was by over a cent against the euro and by 60 cents against the pound. The Japanese yen was also slightly weaker in here. When and US Treasuries were also stronger in here today. They went right down and touched the 135 area and bounced emphatically from there up to 137.18 at the close. They really do need to push below the 135 area to confirm that the peak that was set earlier this month is a medium-term peak rather than a short to near-term peak. If we look at stock markets, there are three distinct categories of index at present. There are markets such as the ASX and the Nasdaq, which found support on the 8th or 9th of August, and have since then rallied back up to test the underside of the overhead trading range. For those indexes, it's a question of will it or won't it? Will it be able to sustain a move back up into the overhead trading range? And that remains very much an open question. If the medium-term uptrends are going to be reasserted, then it's a minimum condition that some of the better performing indices will be able to push back up into their overhead trading ranges. A failure at this area would encourage the short sellers in with the rationale being that if it can't sustain the rally up here, then it's encountering resistance at the first area of potential resistance, and the likelihood of an additional decline will have increased. So what happens with some of those indices in the next week or two will be really quite important from a medium-term perspective. There are other markets such as the FTSE and the S&P, which found support on the 8th and 9th of August, rallied rather well from those levels, pulled back, found support in the region or above the early August lows, and have subsequently pushed on to new highs for the month. And if one were to take that action in isolation over the last month, that's the basic condition for an uptrend. You have a higher reaction low, you have a higher high. However, if one takes a step back and looks at 3 months or a year, then type 3 top formations have been completed. These markets had fallen very abruptly, they develop short-term oversold conditions. That oversold condition is being unwound in here. They need to continue to hold that progression of higher reaction lows. They need to continue to post additional higher highs. And they also need to demonstrate that they can push back up into the overhead trading ranges. And they're not there just yet. Then there are other markets such as the DAX and markets primarily in the on the periphery of Europe, where they did not find support on August 8th and 9th and actually hit lows later on in the month. And so far, their rallies to date have been pretty underwhelming. The fact that so many of those markets are in Europe is indicative of where the problems lie. The European economy, it risks moving back into recession. The ECB bond buying of peripheral debt has been reasonably successful in at least delaying the trajectory of higher yields for all of those countries, but not for Greece. Greece was one of the main problem, and Greek government bond spreads over bunds are at 1600 basis points. That pretty much prices in bankruptcy. We continue to see mixed economic data in here. The strength of the continued strength of the government bond markets is also pricing in not particularly rosy economic outlook. Asia and the consumer story in Asia remains the abiding theme of the global and those of the global economy, and the Asian region generally is the growth engine of the global economy. The US dollar in here was a bit weaker, sorry, a bit stronger in here today. It's been largely range bound against other quasi-reserve currencies such as the euro and the pound. But against the Asian dollar index, the dollar continues to deteriorate, and that's representative of the strength in that region. We see that in stock markets generally, we have these completed type 3 tops, and significant support building is going to be required to indicate that the selling pressure that's already been seen has been the extent of what we're going to see. Our worst case scenario prior to this decline was for a short, sharp bear market, and we've certainly seen the sharp declines, and it remains to be seen whether those lows that were mostly found on the 8th and 9th of August hold. The relative strength to date of the consumer sector and the Asian region generally is notable, and those sectors have been leaders throughout the last 2.5 years. They were among the first sectors to bottom back in 2008. Back in 2008, the sector that bounced first and was among the best absolute and relative strength performers were gold shares. From March 2009, they began to underperform and largely went sideways. The Amex Gold Bugs Index broke upwards a year ago and has been largely range-bound since then, and it's now pressuring the upper side of that range. Gold prices continue to hold in the region of $1,800. The peak at $1,913 represented a large overextension relative to the 200-day moving average. The subsequent decline of $200 was the largest reaction we've seen in the last 2 years. The most likely scenario is that we're going to see at least some additional ranging in the gold price, and that's probably healthy in terms of the overall consistency of the secular bull market. But $1,800 is expensive gold, particularly compared to where gold had traded in the last 4 or 5 years. And from the perspective of gold miners, the pace at which gold has advanced in the last year is far outstripping their cost of capital at present. So it takes time for that high gold price to feed through into earnings, and the longer that that gold price is sustained at high levels, the better it is for those companies. I looked through the constituents of the Amex Gold Bugs Index today, and there are quite a number of those shares have broken multi-month progressions of lower rally highs, which would suggest that demand has moved back into dominance here. There are also a number of those shares that are beginning to push on to new high ground, and that is generally quite positive. A significant decline in gold prices would be required to really, I think, alter investor sentiment towards that particular sector. And the most likely scenario is that we're going to see some additional ranging for gold between $1,700 and $1,900. In the oil markets today, they were relatively quiet, but Brent crude prices remain too firm. At $114 to $115, the likelihood is they're more likely than not to go back up and test the $120 level. And while Brent crude prices have been largely static for much of the last few months, they've now spent quite a bit longer above the $100 area than they did back in 2008. And higher oil prices generally are a tax on consumption. The underperformance of industrial shares, particularly in the oil sector, but also in transportation, is not a particularly favorable sign for economic growth, particularly in the USA and in Europe, particularly in Europe. So there is still calls for caution, particularly with regard to stock markets. And inflationary pressures do not appear to be moderating in here, and the global economy really does need lower commodity prices to act as a cushion if we do start to see slower economic growth. In fact, the slower economic growth is the more likely it is that we're going to have a larger pullback in commodity prices. When we look over the very long term, the greatest urbanization in history remains an abiding theme. Major pullbacks in stock markets are likely to provide buying opportunities for some of those growth economies, and we appear to be in the process of building those types of opportunities at present. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening. I wish all the best to all of you.